This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Discussing how this could have possibly happened, I have seen so many people try to explain that Shaitan is very powerful in his whisper. Appreciate that we are looking at this from a spiritual lens of the need for purification, safeguarding our hearts, protecting ourselves from Shaitan. And what I think that those who are referencing Shaitan are actually trying to answer is the idea of what are risk factors that could lead to this level of perpetration. However, in the court of Islamic law, a person cannot come and say Shaitan's whispers were just too strong. What we can do is look at risk factors for how perpetrators are potentially created. There are so many, but just to mention four, empirical research shows that children who were sexually abused from the ages of 3 to 7 and older, children whose parents used physical discipline as the primary form of discipline within the home, children who were exposed to hypersexualized content from an early age, had difficult attachments with their parents when combined with other factors, could lead towards a path of becoming a perpetrator. That does not mean at all that childhood survivors of sexual abuse are going to become predators. What it means is that there is a common thread in predators that they have childhood abuse. So if we as a community know this, and we also know that we are not immune from the statistics of 1 in 20 boys and 1 in 6 girls are survivors of childhood sexual abuse, and then put in measures as a community that address those specific risk factors. That could include that masajid require a couple go through parenting courses as well as premarital counseling before they marry that couple. Include workshops, khutbahs, actively addressing in conference to help heal communities, parents, children who are navigating cycles of abuse. This type of abuse is not just one person who has to carry the trauma of it for a lifetime, possibly lead to generational violence. And again, those are not the only factors, but they are some that we can actually work to address. I also spoke to a trauma therapist and a caseworker who specializes in child sexual abuse cases, and they both mentioned that the idea of entitlement is one that allows this type of abuse to continue. So a few years ago, there was an account on TikTok. He was a man who would speak about Islamic reminders. It came to light that he had been incarcerated previously. He was incarcerated for over 5 years because of forcing and harming a child into a sexual act. He was actually a registered sex offender. He was working in one masjid to the next, and he would work with children. The masjid would find him in really weird situations with a child, fire him. Then he would go to another city and get hired by another masjid and work with children again, get fired again. And the masajid just didn't have a system of reference checks or background checks, so they didn't know his history. When this came to light on TikTok, a number of accounts that had over 1 million followers or close to it had lives with him. They had him swear in the name of Allah that he is innocent, which he did. And then they affirmed his innocence because how could he have sworn in Allah's name otherwise? That is the culture of perpetuation. A worker told me of a boy in an Islamic boarding school gang raped by his classmates. While the school leadership and the religious leadership and the authorities did the basic that they needed to, in the community discussion, there was not full accountability for these boys. And there was not a path of healing for this child who felt like he had nowhere to go until he met this particular caseworker. Happen of what's going to happen to these young men's futures if we tell everyone? What's going to happen to the families of these young men if people find out? That is part of an entitlement culture that we can change right now, inshallah. There's a reason why in the Maqasid of Sharia, protection of families is cornerstone.